Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Prince Nesta kicks off Monday's show with a comprehensive report on the qualifying matches for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Senegal became the first team to qualify for the African Cup of Nations, with Liverpool's Benjamin Sadio Mane scoring in a 1-0 win over Guinea-Bissau on Sunday. The Teranga Lions now has a maximum 12 points from 4 games in Group I and is guaranteed one of the 2 qualifying places from the group. Congo also well-placed with 6 points from 3 matches in the group following their 2-0 victory against Eswatini, and they can further strengthen their position by completing the double over the lowest-ranked nation in the group on Monday. Liverpool's Naby Keita scored a superb goal on international duty for Guinea, smashing home from a distance to give the country the lead in the eventual 1-1 draw against Chad in the African Cup of Nations Group A qualifier. Mali joined Guinea at the top of the group after its 1-0 home win over Namibia in Bamako, with teenager El Bilal Toure netting a 38th-minute penalty. Ajax Amsterdam forward Lassina Traore scored twice for Burkina Faso as they beat Malawi 3-1 in Ouagadougou. Uganda Cranes also defeated Minos South Sudan 1-0 in the other Group B fixture, with an 86-minute goal from Halid Lualiwa, extending their impressive unbeaten run to 15 matches. In Group C, the Secretary Bad of Sudan will be looking to avenge their AFCON loss against the Black Stars of Ghana when they meet on Tuesday afternoon. Charles Sakono's men were just too good at home last week when they ran out comfortable 2-0 winners and were grateful to skipper Andrew Ayew, who grabbed a brace. The Black Stars currently top Group C on 9 points, 3 ahead of South Africa, who were made to sweat for their 2-0 victory over Sao Tome and Principe at the Moses Mabhida Stadium. Arsenal captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was among the scorers as Gabon went top in Group D with a 2-1 home win over the Gambia, while the Democratic Republic of Congo secured a 0-0 draw against Angola. Chelsea wonderkid Hakim Ziyech's double, including a penalty, plus goals from Ashraf Hakimi and debutant Zakaria Abouhlal, allowed Morocco to enjoy a comfortable 4-1 win over Central African Republic in Casablanca. A brace from Saidi Ntibazonkiza and a goal by Youssouf Ndayishimiye were all Burundi needed to secure a 3-1 win over Mauritania in Group E's tough AFCON qualifier. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Group F, the Wasps of Rwanda settled for a goalless draw against Cape Verde as they picked up their first points in the group. The two sides will meet again in Kigali on Tuesday. Meanwhile, in another Group F encounter, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon thrashed Mozambique 4-1, with Andre Franco Zambo, Vincent Abubakar and Clinton Gie scoring for Cameroon, while Kamu Kamu pulled one back for the visitors. Kenya's Harambee Stars lost 2-1 to Comoros in Moroni to leave their quest of gracing the 2022 AFCON finals hanging by the thread. The result takes Comoros back to the top of Group G with 8 points, 3 ahead of the fans of Egypt, who scored through defender Mahmoud El Wench to aid Togo 1-0 in Cairo. The Pharaohs will face Togo again in Lome on Tuesday before visiting Kenya and hosting the Comoros next match. The Desert Foxes of Algeria lived up to their status as continental champions by beating the Warriors of Zimbabwe 3-1, while the Chipolopolo of Zambia beat Botswana 2-1 in Group H to revive their hopes of qualifying to the 2022 AFCON tournament. The Taifa Stars of Tanzania will look to end their losing streak as they welcome Group J leaders, the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, in a crucial African Cup of Nations qualifier in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, while Ivan Salvador recorded his name on the score sheet as Equatorial Guinea defeated Libya 1-0. The Elephants of Ivory Coast pool level with Madagascar in Group K as they beat the Indian Ocean Islanders 2-1 at their new stadium on the outskirts of Abidjan. Niger's Yusuf Omaru netted a 74th-minute penalty, which proved enough to beat Ethiopia 1-0 as they picked up their first points in Group K. The Lion Stars of Sierra Leone came from 4-0 to hold the Super Eagles of Nigeria to a 4-4 draw in a dramatic AFCON qualifier in Benin City. Nigeria raced into a 4-0 lead inside the first hour as Alex Iwobi scored twice, the first in 4th minute. And Victor Osimhen and Samuel Chukwueze added two more, but Kwame Kwi pulled one back for Sierra Leone 4 minutes before the break, after which the visitors staged a remarkable recovery, with Alhaji Kamara scoring twice in between Mustafa Bundu's effort, all in the final 18 minutes to secure the draw. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And thanks to Prince Nesta for that report on the Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches. As Prince mentioned, Sierra Leone rallied for a dramatic 4-4 draw with host Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye was at the match, and he joins us now from Benin City. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What a spectacular game. The Leone Stars of Sierra Leone staged a big comeback to draw 4-4 with the Super Eagles of Nigeria in a Group L AFCON qualifying match played at the Samuel Ogbemudia Stadium in Benin City. The Super Eagles led the Leone Stars by 4-1 in the first half. Everton midfielder Alex Iwobi scored twice for Nigeria in the 7th and 27th minutes. Napoli forward Victor Osimhen and Spain-based forward Samuel Chukwueze scored the other goals in the 22nd and 30th minutes. Kwame Kwi scored Leone Stars' first goal in the 41st minute. In the second half, the Leone Stars began the big fight back when Alhaji Kamara scored twice in the 72nd and 80th minutes. Substitute Bundu equalized for the Leone Stars with 4 minutes to go. Nigerian manager Gennaro Ross says the outcome of the game surprised his team. He says the team did not have enough time to prepare, but added that the return match in Freetown will be a different game.
So we have to check, we have to not to forget that it was very good in the first time. We cannot forget, but the result is here. The result is 1 point. We need another 3 points now to qualify. We want to do it there in Freetown. Everybody is in a big determination. Everybody is vexed. Nobody slept. So we are trying to forget a little bit now in the training and also in the meeting we will do. We will see again the crucial situations in video, speak about the mistakes, and then I'm sure they will react, because I know my team, I know what we can do. They showed it in the first half. If we can maintain the energy for the second half, we can do it.
Fisayo Dairo, a sports journalist with ECLSports.com, says though the match ended in a draw, the Super Eagles can still win away in Sierra Leone.
Well, it's shocking. It's a shocking end to the game. But what can I say? That this is football. We've seen it happen over time and time again. But lots of questions are going to be asked. But the good thing is that we have started very good, very well in this race. We have 7 points from 3 matches. We have a second chance in Freetown, Sierra Leone on Tuesday. And I strongly believe that we can make it count there. But for this one, kudos to the Sierra Leonean side for not giving up. From 4-0 down, it's never happened on Nigerian soil, and we give them the full kudos. But like I said, once again, questions must be asked about the Nigerian side.
The Lion Stars will host the Super Eagles in a return match at the Siaka Stevens Stadium in Freetown on November 17. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Benin City, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bam-Bam-Bam-Zip. DC.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. On the Voice of America, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach said Monday he's very confident spectators can attend next year's postponed Tokyo Games. Reuters reporter Brian Wood tells us more about Bach's announcement.
That announcement came after a meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga, where the two fist bumped in greeting. Bach is visiting Japan for 2 days of meetings with games organizers to discuss countermeasures to combat the coronavirus. Talks will include whether to allow spectators into venues and how to safely accommodate more than 11,000 athletes from across the world. The visit is his first to Tokyo since March, when he and former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe decided to postpone the games to 2021 because of virus risks. In Monday's meeting, Suga, who succeeded Abe as prime minister earlier this year, reiterated Japan's commitment to hosting the games. Later on Monday, Bach is set to award Abe the Olympic Order, the IOC's highest accolade, and will also visit the newly built national stadium.
That's Reuters reporter Brian Wood.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Ghana's 800 meters Olympian Alex Mankwa took a break from his training recently to talk once again with Dan Friedel. Here's Dan.
We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Ghanaian 800 meter runner Alex Mankwa. Alex, we talked a little bit last time you were on the show about what the 2020 season was going to be like for you. What was it like for you to see the summer come and go after you found out that the Olympics weren't going to happen this year?
When I realized the Olympics weren't going to happen, I was pretty devastated. I was looking forward to it. As some of you may know, I ran in the last Olympics in 2016, and I didn't run particularly well. But I wanted to redeem myself and see that I and show myself that I belong in that stage and I can perform well. So it was definitely hurt to be able to not, you know, be able to compete in the Olympics. But I did learn a lot throughout the year. So, you know, I just try to make the most out of every situation and use, you know, all these trials that everybody's going through as an opportunity to just improve and be better. Even if it's like little tiny things that I might need to just work on, it was really a good learning experience to just focus on the little things.
I'm Dan Friedel, and we're talking with Alex Mankwa, a Ghanaian 800-meter runner who lives and trains in Arlington, Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. Alex and I were talking before we started this conversation about his development as a runner and what he does to stay in shape and, you know, how his weight and his strength might fluctuate up and down depending on what part of his season he's been in. So I imagine that as you were going through the 2019-2020 winter, you had some goals for yourself as far as numbers on the track or pounds of weight that you were going to lift or certain steps in your conditioning process to get ready for your meets and your qualifying events. How did you have to kind of hit the reset button when you found out that the Olympics weren't going to happen so that you didn't really burn yourself out going into now the 2021 winter?
That's a great question, man, because just resetting myself took a lot of focus and energy. Just to kind of give you a backstory, me and my teammates, we went to training camp in Florida in IMG Academy. We were there. Everybody was training really hard, working really hard to improve and get better. And I thought I was in phenomenal shape. I think everybody in our team felt like we were going to step on the track and, run something crazy. We had a race a week after we would leave IMG Academy. And we're, following the, COVID and everything. And it just kind of just blew up so fast that nobody realized how fast it was coming. The NBA is canceled. College basketball is canceled. You literally have sports playing telling athletes get off the court and fans go home. So when we realized, like, hey, the season isn't happening, the Olympics aren't happening, we had to just completely stop everything and go back to square one. And square one was basically us training like fall, training like what we would do in the beginning of the year, just racking up miles, getting back in the weight room and just kind of holding off on peaking a little too early.
Over the last few months on the Sunny Side of Sports, we've talked with some athletes who weren't able to get into swimming pools or get into gyms to continue with their training. We were talking with a world champion triathlete, and she was doing workouts at her parents' house in Maryland, but wasn't able to really test herself against other elite athletes until just her competition started up again in the first part of the fall. How have you been able to measure yourself and maintain your progress without going either slipping back too much or getting ahead of yourself?
Maintaining the progress was very difficult. We had a few things we needed to adjust, and the tracks were closed, so we weren't able to actually run on tracks. So what we came up with, and my coach did an excellent job of this, we would find areas that we would map out that was either 400 meters, what would be similar to a track, and we would do repeat miles, repeat 800s, some 200s, or everything. We will like simulate that outside of the track. And I'm very thankful for Under Armour. They actually were able to send us some weights, and we would lift outside of our house, or we'll find ways to be creative. Some of us were, finding trees, and we'll climb the tree and do pull-ups, or just doing little circuits at home. And we, a lot of us have experience with just, working out because, we all grew up with, most of us went to college and have a lot of, paperwork that has different workouts. And then we use some of that to kind of maintain our strength. And the last thing was just making sure, we're going to work out. Just believing that it's going to work out. And our coach really drove that in our heads, and we believe that.
That's Ghana's 800 meters Olympian, Alex Amankwa. And Alex spoke with Dan Friedel here in the Washington area. Now let's go to South Africa, where Sarah Kumalo, the first Black African woman to conquer Mount Everest, appears to have set a Guinness World Record for the most money raised during an 8-hour stationary cycling fundraiser. She will use the money to build digital libraries for rural children whose education has been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this report by Franco Puglisi in Johannesburg.
From the highest peak of Mount Everest to a stationary bicycle, South African Sarah Kumalo is breaking new records. The first Black African woman to summit the world's tallest mountain in 2019, Kumalo gave herself a new challenge, breaking a Guinness World Record for charity. Through 8 hours of stationary cycling, Kumalo raised nearly $44,000 to build digital libraries for South Africa's rural students whose education suffered when schools closed due to the pandemic.
I think we can't afford to leave any children behind. If you look at what happened with the lockdown and COVID-19, schools that did not have digital material to support their students were really locked down. Students were struggling, and we can't afford that.
Each digital library will have a mobile tablet computer with curriculum-based application and teacher training modules. Education Aid Group iSchool Africa helped fundraise for Kumalo under a team's attempt on October 25th to break the Guinness World Record. Michelle Lissus is director of the group.
We worked in partnership with the schools, with donors, with sponsors to really change the way we teach and learn and to look for solutions in a very challenging environment.
After 8 hours of spinning, Kumalo and her team felt confident, said team member Cindy van Veek.
It was an awesome, awesome, awesome day. And at about around 1 o'clock, Sarah and I knew that we had broken the world record. Because it's for the children, it's for the children of this beautiful country.
While falling short of their personal goal to raise about $62,000, Kumalo says she will keep fundraising until they reach the peak of their goal, to build 9 digital libraries for South African children. Franco Puklisi for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson Weir, the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to world number one golfer Dustin Johnson, who won the Masters Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Johnson has posted a record 20 under par total to win the Masters by a commanding 5 shots.
Growing up so close to here, it's always been, you know, a tournament that, you know, since I've been on tour, that, you know, since I played my first Masters, it's been, you know, a tournament I wanted to win the most. And, you know, being close the last couple years, finishing second last year to Tiger, you know, this one was, you know, it was just something that I really wanted to do. And obviously starting today with a 4-shot lead, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I knew I was going to have to play well if I wanted to win, and played probably better than, you know, especially from really 7 into the clubhouse. I played really, really solid, hit a lot of great shots, but it was still hard. I mean, I was nervous all day, but I felt like I controlled myself very well, controlled the golf ball very well in difficult conditions. I felt like the wind was really tricky. The course, the greens were a little bit faster. You know, so I felt like you really had to be careful around here today.
Johnson overcame 2 early bogeys to cruise to victory on the back 9 with a final round 68 to secure the win over Australia's Cam Smith and South Korea's Sun Jae-im. The 36-year-old Johnson laid claim to the tournament with a first day 65 and dominated from there on a rain-softened fall Augusta National course. It was his second major win, ending a long wait after winning the US Open back in 2016. I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. Finally, in Formula One auto racing, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to British star Lewis Hamilton, who clenched a record-equaling 7th F1 title in Istanbul, Turkey. Hamilton won the Turkish Grand Prix on Sunday, and he now stands alongside the now-retired German driver Michael Schumacher with 7 overall F1 titles. Moments after crossing the finish line, an emotional Hamilton said, and I quote, "That's for all the kids out there who dream the impossible. You can do it. Dream on, Lewis Hamilton."
And
wraps up the November 16th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.